We don't need to ask Dante up, he's already here.
I guess I'll change too.
Or you can just hop between the two chairs.
Yeah, you're right. I'll let you guys ask me the tough questions.
Oh, you're going to have Shannon for that.
Yeah, why don't you hand these out of the council? Thank you.
You ready, Dante?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good afternoon, council, committee. I get to change seats and ask myself the hard questions at the end as this. So I appreciate the opportunity to come and present our budget package today. With me are Paul Stewart, who is our budget analyst, who actually is with the Housing Bureau, so we thank him because we get to pay for his time and usage, and he does a phenomenal job in assisting us. And Joe Wall is our business operations manager now, as we've kind of reorganized a little bit, and we'll be here to answer any questions as well. You just received a letter from our Commission on Disability in support of our budget. So, just for your perusal. So, the budget we're presenting today is essentially it's a largely stable budget, and there are no specific new money asks. We're asking for reorganization of some of the funding, realignment of some of the funding. As we continue to infuse equity as a mindset and a priority in the city, and all of that work that we do continues to grow. Many of you were present this past Wednesday when we presented our annual report to City Council, so you got a sense of the depth and breadth of the work that we do and the work that we are continuing to do and continuing to be asked to do and continue to be engaged and involved in all across all bureaus and across the city. The request for our services just continues to grow, which represents obviously a success, but also a challenge as we do what we do. Most recently, we have received the Black Male Achievement Program from the mayor's office that will now be housed in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. With that comes no funding request on our part. There's funding via realignment that comes from the mayor's office. A transfer of $100,000 ongoing general fund resources will be submitted into our budget. That will allow us the hiring of a program coordinator to oversee the Black Male Achievement Program in Portland. I have been doing it for the last 3.5 months as it came over at the end of December, and it's quite honestly a full-time job to really be able to do it well, to engage and oversee the steering committee of men running organizations or engaged in organizations that focus on Black male and men and young boy achievement in the city as it relates to criminal justice, education, healthcare, and a broad spectrum of issues, addressing issues from a policy level, from the state capitol on down to the city level. Our second decision package, again, is a realignment request, enhancing equity services to the bureaus. We're asking for the creation of an FTE, not even full-time, but 0.6 FTE assistant program specialist to increase our capacity to deliver services citywide. The short answer is in this, and I think a couple of you, council, commented that I wasn't asking for any new money or anything in this budget request, is that we did not have anything in order to cut, in order to ask for new money. Our budget is not large. A significant portion of it is for personnel costs. So we didn't have the luxury of being able to cut a position to add another position. And so this is a realignment request so that we can try to do as much as we can with what we have that will provide significant opportunity to increase our capacity to address issues such as boards and commissions in this city and figuring out what is the demographic of them, how do we increase the demographic of them, as an example, increase our capacity to do training. As you heard in our report, we're going to come back with a request that equity training becomes mandatory for all employees in the city, all new employees, and all employees will have to go through the equity training. It will increase our capacity to do that. Just in general, it will increase our capacity to have a program specialist who can broadly work among the various programs within our bureau. The third package, again, is a realignment. We transferred from our office to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement the new Portlander program. It really is, and we see it as a better fit. And it's that conversation has been ongoing since I first arrived here 3 years ago. Where is the best fit for the program? It is essentially a neighborhood engagement program, neighborhood facilitation program, really providing almost sometimes direct service to some of the residents in the various communities that are engaged with the New Portlanders program, refugee and immigrant populations specifically. So as of the end of December, it moved into the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and this is just a realignment process to make the technical adjustments so the budget goes over to ONI. So some of the information that you'll see in our performance measures talk about improving city workforce. The number on here is 21% of the city workforce we hope to, or currently comes from communities of color. And if you remove the seasonal employees, that number drops to 18%. And it also removes a significant population of the Latino population who are city employees. So trying to really focus on increasing that number. Also trying to gain greater information as we work with human resources regarding employees who are consider themselves someone with a disability. Currently, only 94 employees out of 5,000 identify as having a disability. That just comes from the survey that we've rolled out, and there was a survey initially that was a federal survey that we had to submit that required people to identify themselves by their employee number, which we knew wasn't going to get us any response. So a second survey was then put together in conjunction with HR and my office to try to get at the real number for people to feel safe in being able to identify and not feeling that if I do in fact identify now, there's going to be some ramification to the fact that now I've identified myself. And so we're really trying to get a good handle on what this number actually is.
So you're in the process of putting together that survey? You haven't done it yet?
The survey has recently gone out, and I'm not sure. HR submitted, put it out, and the numbers are coming back to HR. And so I'm not sure exactly where they are in receipt of the responses from city employees yet. So
could you ask them to send another one out? Because I must have missed it.
Will do.
I'd like to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to complete that, because I've been working with the Department of Justice settlement, and it's been surprising to me, or not surprising, how many city employees have come to tell me in confidence that they have a disability, but they absolutely do not want anybody else to know.
Exactly.
So I'm glad you're doing that survey. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Dante?
Yes.
In terms of the city workforce from communities of color, 21%, that's of the total permanent and seasonal employees?
And seasonal, yes.
The number, and I'll admit I haven't been tracking, it seems lower than numbers I've seen in prior years. And so I thought I had seen numbers, and I was thinking maybe it was the permanent workforce, but I think I heard you say that actually our seasonal workforce is more diverse. Is that right?
That number
drops even further.
Yes.
Okay. But yes. This is not a different methodology or anything of looking at it. This is...
No. The last couple years that I've been aware, the number of within the city has been around 21-22% of people of color in the city.
Okay. Thank you.
Full-time. We will also, where am I at? So again, we're working on the implementation of the Model Employer of People with Disabilities plan with human resources, which is why this survey is very important. Our kind of current state of current highlights, in terms of a huge piece of work that we do, which is our equity training, we can't ask people to do what they don't understand. And so the training is a huge component of really infusing equity and people's ability to implement equity throughout the city. So initially our goal for 1 year back in 14-15 was 376, which was short of our goal. And we currently, where am I at? We projected, our goal was 1,000. For 14-15, and 550 city employees participated in the training in 14-15. So we are obviously woefully under what our goal was. Our goal was an aggressive goal, no question. People sign up on their own, have the option of signing up on their own through the City Learner Program, which is through HR, or individual bureaus or bureau directors will contact our office and say, we'd like you to conduct training for our leadership team or for our equity staff or for the maintenance shop, and so we will also do that. So in instance, we play hopscotch with bureaus and then count on individuals to sign up on their own, and so which is the reason our request is for the mandatory training for all employees in the same way City's 2.2 harassment training is mandatory for all city employees. So that's why our target has not been met. The request for the assistant program specialist will also obviously increase our capacity to deliver training, as well as address some of the other issues that we also are always faced with. We are focusing on the city's racial equity roadmap. Each bureau is required to essentially put together a racial equity strategy plan, and within our performance measures, our goal is by the end of this year to have 90% of all bureaus to have completed their plan. We're rolling it out in phases, and so we have currently 6 bureaus that are in the process of the first phase of their plan, and then come May, the next phase rolls out, and so it's going out in waves because we don't have the capacity to do all 26 at one time and do anything responsible with them, which is why we're doing it in waves. So the assistant program specialist will absolutely increase our capacity to review and engage in, provide technical assistance to the bureaus as they put these plans together. Black Male Achievement, I mentioned, really focuses on job creation as well as mentoring. I have met with and will be bringing on the program coordinator hopefully next week, and that will then begin to really take off and flourish as we collaborate with just entities around the city to improve aspects for black men and boys. For the civil rights program, Title II, our goal is to really, we're both Title II and VI, make them much more robust. They came over in July into my office from the Office of Management and Finance, and so we're requesting a carryover of funds from the spring bump just to extend the there's an ADA transition plan that's required that we now, all the bureaus are working on, and so the implementation is now beginning, and so we have a coordinator for 1 year. It's a one-year it's a full-time temporary position to oversee the implementation of the transition plan. We're working on tracking. How do we make sure that we track which bureau is doing what and removing barriers as they go through? Question, Commissioner? Thank you. All right. In Title VI in the Civil Rights Program, as I mentioned last time, we were allocated $50,000 from council, from the general fund, and our office put in $50,000 that came from the move from OMF for a translation pool. So bureaus could reach in and have funds to translate essential documents, as well as provide interpretation for meetings and or when they're doing community engagement, that would provide funding to be able to do that. The federal requirement is that all essential documents must be translated into the, what are the top 10 languages, the safe harbor languages in the city. And so many bureaus don't have the funds to do that. And so this was an opportunity to provide really all the bureaus to reach that baseline of translation services as well as community engagement interpretation opportunities. We currently have about $27,000 that has been expended. It started in January. The funds run out at the end of June. We recently just got a request for $20,000 from Parks, and there's two or three more requests that are in the pipeline that we've been told are becoming. So my goal is not to have a penny left at the end of the fiscal year because all the funds have been expended either for translation specifically or for interpretation services for community engagement. Coming up in the future have been conversations about making the office more of a civil rights program in terms of evaluating or taking on what HR takes on now, which is the harassment complaints in the city, as well as the possibility of coming back from BOLI, the Title VII. The city doesn't take any Title VII complaints. It all goes to BOLI. So there's been conversation in the same way. There's not conversation about ban the box.
What's Title VII?
Title VII is employment discrimination. There we go. Employment discrimination. And then harassment is specifically 2.2 in the city.
So have you been involved? I know you have been involved in the ban the box. You just said that. So
yes.
Why? Do you know why can you tell us why the request is to have funding in city attorney's office? That they're looking at having a civil rights division too, right?
No, I don't think that it's a civil rights division they're looking at doing. And I think the ordinance actually says, it just says city. It doesn't specifically say city attorney. So it's just a very broad initial conversation about how would we do this if we brought it to the city itself instead of at Bowling. And then again, we're looking at the demographics on boards and commissions, which is clearly a way of indicators for engagement of populations within the city, with the city. The current demographic data is about 4 or 5 years old, so we're trying to, because there's no central, only houses the information, but doesn't analyze it in any way. It's just a repository of the information. So our goal is to try to get from each of the bureaus what is the demographics of your boards and commissions, and be able to do a better job of outreach to communities to greater diversify what those boards and commissions look like. And I think that's essentially all that we have. So, questions, thoughts?
So the mayor's not here, and obviously he's your commissioner in charge. He has several special appropriation requests moving previous one-time money into ongoing money, and I certainly support having programs that are truly ongoing being funded with ongoing money. So I, as soon as he recovers, I will be asking him about adding two requests to, in that bucket, the special appropriations, because those did not require cuts. That you mentioned the transition plan update. Tim Crail of my office says that there are, we've identified 25,829 barriers, and that's excluding parks. Parks is going to bring its study this summer. Just 1,551 are scheduled for removal. Probably this is from the city budget office analysis. So at that rate, we will be in compliance in 20 years. So it seems pretty clear that that coordinator position is going to be needed beyond the current, the next fiscal year. And so I will be asking the mayor to add that to the request to put that into ongoing funding. I can tell my colleagues on the budget committee that we've been addressing that as vigorously as we can in the Bureau of Development Services. And it's things like, you know, the handle is too high or this shelf isn't accessible, those kinds of fairly minor, but it turns out pretty technical. And it's been hugely helpful having Office of Equity and Human Rights assisting us with that. Similarly, I think the translation money, it was a pilot project to see, was that going to be helpful? I mean, your question to FIRE, are you going to be translating those brochures? That's something that you can help with if you have additional money.
Yes.
So I think that's another one-time allocation that really ought to be an ongoing. And as long as I've been here, the challenge of who's in charge of translation and, you know, does every bureau have to reinvent the wheel of figuring out how to do it? It makes so much more sense, and I appreciate you taking it on because the auditor had it, and then Office of Management Finance had it, and then each bureau was trying to figure out, well, how do we do it? I think it's worked really well from Park's perspective, and so I'll be asking the mayor if he wants to add that to his list.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you know, this is kind of a big question, and but I'm looking at your dashboard, and from your bureau is actually relatively new.
Right.
Because I remember when the first time you appeared before us, you had been here like 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, ah. Anyway, so it seems to me that your bureau, your office, is really focused on the city employees. Is that right?
Not exclusively, but focused internally, I guess, is your question.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So who should be, I mean, I have this interest, and I know that it's shared by the commissioners, that we look at displacement.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was just listening to the FIRE report, and she said that the calls had gone down in North Portland and had gone up in East Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, that was just a little indication of some gentrification that, you know, we're not supposed to use that term anymore, but that's the one that came to mind. So where do you think that should be done? Who should be looking at that, and where should that be solved as much as could be, or come up with solutions?
Right, no, and great question. And we are actually engaged in the conversation. Most recently, I think the mayor and Commissioner Salzman have kind of charged the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Bureau of Housing and my office with sitting together to really come up with some strategies to begin to address gentrification. And how do we identify what is at risk, what areas are at risk, and use studies like Dr. Bates at PSU and others to see how we can begin to have a cohesive strategy. Because currently there really isn't an overall strategy in terms of connecting housing and PDC and other things. And so that's really what we've kind of been tasked to do in a larger picture. And so it's not a consideration at this point. So there are those conversations that are going on. And so my office is engaged in those as well.
And we've certainly been spending a lot of effort to put policies in the comprehensive plan to support this. You know, that's not implementation, that's the policy framework, but it's an important step.
It's part of the Portland plan, you know, as equity, that section of equity in the Portland plan really provides, you know, kind of an overall structure, as Dante was talking about, that and now with the budget equity tool, with each of the bureaus really beginning to look at that, so that's why housing has that on their plate, you know, and we hope that that it becomes more, you know, of how we do business rather than an add-on.
So is there going to be a report or a series of initiatives or that is going to come out of that?
We've met twice. So,
I'm eager.
Right. So I don't know that we've solidified exactly what the outcome that we hope to do is, be it a report or be it bring more people together to decide how we want to begin to address this. It's almost a process to decide the process, which will drive me insane. Mm-hmm. But we're at the very beginning stages.
Thank you.
Katie, another example of how OEHR is involved in other bureaus' work, as the Bureau of Transportation and Metro and a whole bunch of other folks look at the potential for high-capacity transit on Powell Division, one of the things, we've got a separate equity committee, and one of the things we're looking at is how do we avoid high-capacity transit just being another tool for gentrification, and Dante's office is involved in that discussion.
As it has been in the past. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I should just step in for a minute. So we did spend quite a bit of time developing these key performance measures that you see on the dashboard, and I just want to give kudos to the Office of Equity. You know, they really stepped into a position of taking responsibility for other bureaus' actions, and I think that shows a lot of leadership. Because as Dante mentioned, you know, things like the training aren't mandated. So, you know, the Bureau really influences other bureaus to take that step, encouraging employees to sign up. And I think the measures will also really help us see the pace of progress, you know, see how many employees are taking trainings and see how those roadmaps are moving through the city. So I think we'll be able to see how well we're performing on that end of things as well, see how much we're doing.
It strikes me sometimes that there's some parallel between your office and PBEM, because you're both small bureaus with big charges, and you're sort of dependent on, you know, you're supposed to be the conscience of the city with respect to both emergency preparedness and with end to equity, and that's a tough role to play with a small budget. We really appreciate how well you do it.
And I appreciate that I have staff, and it's just not me, so my staff plays a big role. But I can always come back and ask for another staff person, too. So. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Now it's